This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. Many of you heard the pastor. He was a pastor here and a founder of Radio Missions here in New Orleans for many, many years, and we still air his broadcast on a regular basis. We're on over 100 stations every week. If you would, let us know. We'd be glad to send you a title list of all of his messages. They're available on CD, but they're also available in booklet form, free and postpaid. The message today is The Grace of Giving. Oh, my friend, what a message. The Grace of Giving is number 428. We'll send it to you free and postpaid in booklet form. All you need to do is call us or let us know, and I'll give you our mailing address and other information at the close of the service.
We have shown you from God's Word that the earth is the Lord's. The silver and the gold is the Lord's. The cattle upon a thousand hills are the Lord's. Your strength to make money is from the Lord. And the tithe, that's one-tenth of your income, is the Lord's. These great truths, the Bible is very plain and definite on. And God's Word cannot be broken. It will stand and stand forever. You may reject it, but it is still God's Word. You may disbelieve it, but it is still God's Word. The thing I can't understand is how folks who say they're saved can stand up and argue about God's Word or God's tithe and hide under that Scripture. For we are not under law, but under grace. Well, my friends, if you're under grace, then if you do not abide by God's Word, grace becomes disgrace to you. Well, the tithe is not only law, the tithe is grace. God's commandment, thou shalt not kill, applies to every one of us as much under grace as under law. And the fact that you're under grace does not give you leave to go out and kill folks, does it? No. No, you obey the law if you're a Christian. So it is with God's tithe. It's because of your own selfish heart that you'll stand up and argue about God's tithe. You don't like to be bound down, do you? No, sir. That shows you've never been saved. I'm free in Christ. But I don't use my liberty as a cloak to disobey Him. Let me quote again John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's Word. Giving is not salvation, but it's an acid test of salvation. Bringing God's tithe into His treasury is not salvation, but the spirit of giving is the acid test of salvation. Yes, your attitude toward money is an acid test of whether you are saved or lost. When any man or woman tells me they're saved, and if I have the opportunity, I watch their giving and their spirit of giving, and immediately I can tell whether or not they're saved. That's right. Your attitude toward giving is an acid test whether you know Christ or not. It is reported in certain quarters that I am preaching tithing as essential to salvation. I wish you'd write for these messages and read and study them closely, and you'll see that it is far from the truth as heaven is from hell. But the Bible teaches plainly that every individual who is saved will have the Spirit of Christ in giving. Now, that's so. That's so. Whether you believe it or not. Here's a fellow, I heard a fellow tell about his brother one time. Well, said, I know he's saved, but he's just a stingy old cuss. Well, that's contradictory. You can't be saved and be stingy. You can't. You'll have the Spirit of Christ in giving. I have never seen a saved person yet who did not and bring God's tithe into His treasury and worship God with His tithe even before they were saved, when once the Scripture was read to them. That's one thing, sinner. You are broken on and broken forever as you come to Christ. The sin of covetousness, the sin of stinginess, is broken forever in your heart. When the Scripture's read to them, they don't argue. No, they don't have to be argued with to convince them. They recognize it's God's Word, and they begin to tithe. You tell me you're saved and don't tithe, don't kid yourself. Huh? Just don't kid yourself. Last night, we had a wedding here at our church, and two photographers, two women, were making pictures of the bride and groom at the close of the service, or during the service. And one of them said to the other, "Reckon Pastor Sheldon would mind us if we would take a picture of him kind of in a dancing mood? Does he stand for that? Would they stand for it?" The other looked up at him and said, "Don't kid yourself." And my friend, I say to you, you tell me you're saved and you won't tithe, don't kid yourself. You'll wake up in hell and make a good back stick for hell. Don't kid yourself. I may as well be frank with you and knock you off your pedestal right now before it's too late. You can get mad with me all you want to. It won't help you. Not one bit. It doesn't change your attitude. I don't care who you are, whether you're a preacher in the pulpit, a deacon in the pew, or a drunkard in the gutter. I want to tell you, my friend, giving is an acid test of man's salvation. Christ never set aside the tithe. That is, he never did away with it. It was a sad day when man divided the Bible into what he calls the Old and New Testaments. That is not the divine division of God's book. There is the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But, brother, both run throughout the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The covenant of works runs from Genesis to Revelation. The covenant of grace runs from Genesis to Revelation. There's no dividing line. Who divided the Bible in the Old and New Testament? Man did it. And how many have stumbled over that thing? How many times have I heard preachers giving charge to young preachers, and they'd say to the young preacher, "Well, the Old Testament has been fulfilled. Don't preach that. Preach the New Testament." Well, I preach both, the Old and the New, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. I show that you cannot be saved by works, but salvation brings forth good works. And one of it is giving. Whoever gave you the authority to do that? Where did you find such rotten stuff anyway? May I get you to think with me? Will you? We have studied the spirit of giving. Now we want to turn to look to the grace of giving. Let's turn to God's Word. 2 Corinthians 8:5-7. 2 Corinthians 8:5-7. I'm talking plain to you now. You listen. If you turn that dial, I'm dealing with your soul. Older I grow, more Satan fights me. More I see the shallowness of empty religious profession. Everywhere! I know right here, there, and yon. More and more I'm coming to see that I'm going to hew to the line as I've never hewn to the line before. And let me say again, every individual who is saved will have the Spirit of Christ in giving. You don't have to argue with him. All right, listen to 2 Corinthians 8:5-7. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he'd also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also," that is the grace of giving. As these Christian saints abounded in faith and utterance and knowledge and so on, he was anxious that they abound in the grace of giving. Giving is a grace. Giving is a grace. You get that? Just as faith is a grace, God gives faith. Just as repentance is a grace, and God gives repentance, so giving is a grace. God gives the spirit of giving at regeneration. And that's the reason I say giving is an acid test of salvation, Because when God saves you, He gives you the grace of giving the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, raises the sinner from death unto life, and gives you the same grace that He gave Christ. I mean, you have it, the same Spirit. The Spirit of giving. The Spirit of giving comes from Jehovah God. That's the reason I keep using the expression that giving is the acid test of salvation. Just like repentance is an acid test of salvation. It is. If you've never repented, you are not saved. I don't care how much faith you've got. And when you are saved, then your spirit of giving has been changed unto the Spirit of Christ. In our study on giving, let's first study man as he is by nature. By nature, man is blinded as to what he is, and there can never be a spirit of giving in the heart of any man until he comes to see himself as he is, and then turns to Christ and Him alone for salvation. Man by nature is selfish, self-centered. Everything revolves around himself. He lives in a little world all his own and is taken up with his own life. Therefore, he cannot see why he should bring God's tithe, and he argues with you about it. He cannot understand why God's messenger constantly lays the claim of Christ upon his heart about his money. He said, I'm saved. I came down the aisle one day and gave the preacher my hand. I'm saved as much as anybody else is saved. Yes, I know that. But I can't see why he wants to keep on pounding on my heart with tithing. Tithing is under the law. Christ put away tithing, he says. We don't have to tithe today. We are saved. We are under grace. Did you ever hear such rotten stuff as that? Well, you hear it all the while. When he goes to church, he's giving. He isn't based on an act of worship. He may pay his pledge. He may drop something in the collection, as he terms it, pats himself on the back. Well, I gave $1 today, or I gave $10, but the spirit of giving is not there. There's the selfish air that surrounds his whole life. By nature, he's covetous, stingy, close-fisted when it comes to giving. He's miserly. And then when a preacher goes down the line like that, then some old cuss will jump and say, well, he wants money. That's all he's working for, is money. That shows your old covetous heart on the road to hell. Yes, it does. As a rule, you have to pull out of him all that you get out of him. Giving to him is not a part of his life. It is not a part of his worship. Money has become a part of his selfish, stingy, miserly being. He may be a preacher in the pulpit, or a deacon in the pew, or a Bible teacher in the chair of learning, but he is selfish, and there is no grace of giving manifested in and through that individual. Such an individual is constantly talking about saving for a rainy day, for an old age, building up his nest egg, as he calls it, to the world, especially the religious world. He is always putting up the front that he doesn't have anything, that he doesn't possess anything. He makes such excuses as the high cost of living, the adversities he has had in business, or he says, my money's all tied up in this or that or the other. He will even go so far as to blame his poor kinfolks for his miserly giving, and they've never gotten a thing out of him. They will argue with you about God's tithe, and many of them will say, well, the only thing the preacher wants is my money. My money. Did you ever hear that? My money. It's not his money. It belongs to God. He's never thought about all he has belongs to the Lord. All I've got belongs to the Lord. You can't beat God giving. You can't. My relatives, some of them, brothers and sisters, have said I'd starve to death because I gave away everything I've got. Well, God gave it to me. I can get some more from where He gives it. I can trust Him. Can't you? There's a joy in giving. That it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's blessed to receive, yes. It's blessed to receive, but it's more blessed to give. You've got to receive before you can give. And you can't beat God giving. I dare you to try it. Come on to Him. If I can't get you to think with me by being sarcastic, I'll try that too. Any way in the world to get you thinking. If I have to make you mad. All of this shows that you know nothing about the grace of giving. That you're still in the guard of bitterness, the bond of iniquity. Because 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and so on. I have battled with the selfish hearts of men and women until at times if I could, I would throw up my hands and quit. I'd walk off and leave the whole thing and say, go on to hell where you belong. I can say as the Apostle Paul, I covet no man's gold, silver, silver or apparel. I'm not after your money. I'm after you. I want you as a trophy of grace for my blessed Lord. Then someone turned around, well, he's trying to cover it up now. I know your arguments. I know how you hate the truth. I know how folks hate God's word. It matters not what you have in your possession, but what you may have materially. I covet none of it. I am concerned only about your soul's condition and the eternal salvation of your soul. But I always know that until you are broken on the money question, and that covetous spirit is broken, until you release your claims upon everything materially and turn to Christ for salvation, you'll go to hell for your trouble. It's your soul I'm battling for. When I yielded to the call of God to preach His word, He led me to surrender everything in the world that I ever had or hoped to have in His hands. He did that in salvation. I own nothing. I have nothing. I walk by faith in Him and live from God's hand to my mouth. That's the spirit. Therefore, I can be true to your soul because my Lord has promised and does take care of my every need, not my wants, but every need. Sometimes I may want something not according to His will, but He did say over in Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my shepherd, I shall not want. Is He your shepherd? And here's individuals who's never trusted their finance to the Lord. You worry about it. You worry from daylight to dark about your finance. Therefore, you turn around and say, well, I'm saved. No, you're not. If you've never trusted your finance in the hands of the Lord, you've never trusted your soul there. Man by nature is cruel, according to 2 Timothy 3:3. He is without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, and so on. Because of your covetous, stingy, miserly heart, your home is a living hell. Your life has shriveled up to the dimensions of a silver dollar, and your whole life is built on greed, force, and gain. You're always asking the question, what can I get out of it, and not what I can put into it. I never ask the question, what can I get out of this, but how much can I put into it? The other day I was talking about a man for a piece of ground to make for an annual assembly ground and also for a camp for July and August for boys and girls who are tied into this old wicked city. And the first thing he began to figure, how much he's going to get out of it, how much is going to benefit him, how much is going to do this, and how much is going to do that. Well, I turned away from him. That's it. And I pray for money to give. Christ gave me His all for me. Why should I give less? One morning I was praying and I said, Lord, for $10, 10,000 lives to lay down at your feet this morning, to sing praises unto my Lord for what you've done for me, 10,000 worlds to lay at thy feet, as an offering this morning for my blessed Lord. But I don't have it. I have one life, and I lay it at the feet of my blessed Lord. One of the most amazing things to me is that I meet so many preachers who do not tithe, and their excuse is, well, I'm giving my life in the service of the Lord. Therefore, God does not expect me to tithe. Just a minute, sir. Where did you find that in God's Word? Where did you find it? Yet you can hang a cigarette out of the end of your mouth, and that's about the only light you have at the end of a cigarette, and strut about as if God Almighty were indebted to you. And you say, well, you said the Scripture says, let your light shine. And about the only light that you have to shine is at the end of a cigarette hanging out the corner of your mouth. No wonder your minister's a failure. No wonder you're always switching from one church to another. Preaching to such a preacher is just a profession. Yes, preaching to such a preacher is just a profession. His pulpit is the place to earn a salary. He gets all he cans and cans all he gets and sits on the lid. That's the attitude of every individual out of Christ, whether in the church or out of the church, whether in the pulpit or the pew. Now, I'm describing man by nature who does not know Christ, and you know I'm telling the truth, whether he's on a profession or whether he's not. Now, listen to 1 John 2:15-17. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What is the will of God? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What a truth. Yes, to get the average man to give, you have to appeal to him on the low level where he lives. You have to appeal to him on the ground of what it will mean to him, or what he will get out of it, or what it will mean to his children, or he can't afford to let Mr. Jones get ahead of him. In other words, you have to appeal to the pride and dignity of man in his natural state to get him to give. There is not that liberal spirit of giving. A man said the other day, talking about his church, we have between 700 and 800 members, and our budget for the year was only around $10,000. He wanted to know how in the world we get folks to give here. The answer is get them to Christ. Get them to Christ. Get them to Christ. And they will give. The individual who will not give is not saved. The individual who is stingy is on the road to hell. The individual who holds to his money has never been born again. To get a man to give is to preach him into hell until he comes to know Christ. Born-again believers will give. A born-again believer can no more keep from giving than a baby can keep from crying for his mother's breast when it is hungry. Now, I don't have any trouble with those who are saved. Sometimes I have a little trouble trying to hold them back because they want to give. It's their nature to give. All of our giving and worship, and giving is an act of worship, should be unto the Lord and on the basis of what God has done for us. When the Holy Spirit lets an individual look at Jehovah God and see who he is and see the goodness of God and the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God manifested toward the sons of men, not one can keep from falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus and bringing gifts unto him, just as the wise men came from the east and gave gifts unto the King of Kings. So will the born-again believer come worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and presenting gifts unto him. Did you ever sit down and think about the goodness of God? It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Did you ever sit down and think about the love of God and consider how God has manifested his love toward you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you? Did you ever sit down there and meditate upon the mercy of God? How according to his mercy saved you and loved you with an everlasting love, and how he drew you with cords of kindness, and you're out of hell because of his mercy. Do you recognize that you're an object of mercy and that you're an object of his grace? Let's meditate upon this scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:9. Listen. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The Lord Jesus Christ became what man is, that we might become what he is. And any individual who has been brought down to the place of repentance and brought to Christ for salvation, surrendering everything to Christ before he gets saved, and that individual possesses the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of giving. Christ gave his all. Every born-again believer surrenders his all. And when he comes to worship, he brings his gifts with him. Yes, the basis of real Christian giving is the goodness, the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. That's the basis on which I give. And I never govern my gifts by anybody else. I never govern my gifts by anybody else. I govern them by the love and mercy and grace of God. He gave his all to me. I give my all to him. All right, such an individual has no trouble in giving. No, he doesn't. He doesn't quarrel with God. He never argues about the tithe. Now let's notice why I should give. Just a moment. When I come to worship, why do I love to bring gifts? Why should I think about coming to worship and not bring gifts unto my Lord? Giving is unto the Lord and not to be seen of men. First, because God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. For God loveth a cheerful giver. That word cheerful means hilarious or laughing. There is no coercion there. There is no spirit of begrudging. There is no spirit of selfishness there. You bring your gift with a spirit of cheerfulness. We're coming to worship now, and our God who gave his all that we might live, who is the object of our love and trust, begets the spirit of giving in our own hearts until we will bring the best, the first fruits, God's tithe unto him. We never stop to ask how little, but how much, Lord? It is all thine. To bring less than the tithe would be a disgrace to any born-again believer. For any born-again believer to come to worship and bring less than God's tithe is a dishonor to the Lord who bought him with his own precious blood. Listen, my friend, the greatest thing in all the world is just to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me ask you the direct question, do you know him? Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Do you know him? Do you know him? If you know him, you have no trouble in giving. But if you're sitting there arguing and saying, well, I'm not under obligation to bring the tithe. Just put it down. Write it down. I'm not saved. Just write it down there. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Chris, giving is an acid test of your salvation. If you say, I'm too poor to give, you write it down. You're lost. And on the road to hell, you've never... You say, well, I can't give this much. Write it down. You're on the road to hell. God doesn't have to have your money. God doesn't have to have you. I'm trying to get you to think today. Yes, I am. Will you think with me? And do you know Christ? Do you know him? The whole thing is based on do you know Christ. If you know him, then you say, yes, Pastor, you're telling the truth. That's my spirit of giving. That's the way I give, because Christ gave his all for me.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the title of the message you heard was The Grace of Giving by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. Oh, what a message, the grace of giving. And I praise the Lord for opening my heart one day to see the grace of giving. It is, you know, the Scripture says it's more gracious to give than it is to receive. But this is old Pastor Pendarvis, Pastor Trailblazer here, and we're inviting you to write us and let us hear from you. And if you'd like to have this message in print, just call us or write us, let us know. We'll be glad to send it to you free and postpaid in booklet form. If you have a need where you can give them out in a drugstore or a nursing home, somewhere like that, we have folks who have a tract ministry, they call it. We supply those. We have hundreds and hundreds of Pastor Shelton's booklets in booklet form, and we furnish them for folks free and postpaid. But the message you heard today was The Grace of Giving, and it's number 428. And this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer. Just been a week before our fellowship day, a spring fellowship day, and what a day we had. Our folks came in from here and there and yonder. And I'm asking you now, if you got home, call me. Let me know you made home all right. Let me know if you got a blessing from being here. It always blesses our heart to know when you get back home and say, Pastor, you know we had a gracious time in the Lord. In the Lord, that's what we talk about. And that's what we do here. Come here praising the Lord for all of his manifold blessings. Would you write me? My mailing address is Pastor Pendarvis, R. Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.